Sunday. Now, not only that, Almighty God is my leader, the world would be wearing me Sunday without me knowing it.
I don't want nobody to do
it. Who told you that? Who told you that nobody's supposed to tell you what to do?
I never lived in a world like that. I wonder where you get that from. House that I grew up in, somebody told me what to do. And I'm glad they did. Because the house that they let me out into is a vicious and cruel house. And if I hadn't learned how to obey at home with Mom and Dad, I probably wouldn't be alive to talk to you now. Because once I got out here in this vicious world, they don't take time and patience with you like Mom and Dad. They give you a driver's license after you study a test. Y'all don't nobody tell me what to do. Well, why don't you just get a car and jump in it without a license? What you go and learn how to drive, you have somebody teach you how to drive. Just get in the car and drive it. You don't need nobody to tell you nothing. You know what will happen to your crazy self if you really try to act out what you say you believe. You will be finished real soon. Now, you know you have to obey people. You're free to drink. But you get drunk in the wrong place and you know what's going to happen to you. They're going to throw you in a paddy wagon and lock you up. Right? You're free to gamble. But if you gamble in the wrong place, you know what's going to happen to you if they catch you. Right? You're free to curse. But there are some places that if you start cursing and swearing, they're going to throw your little cursing, ignorant self in jail. Right? Well, I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I'm grown. No, you're not. You are a narrow-headed, shrunken-headed child. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
When you talk like that, you let the world of intelligent people know you are nothing but a shrunken-headed child. Nobody, I'm gone. Won't even nobody telling me what to do.
How in the world you learn how to talk like that? Somebody taught you that.
That's right.
Some little empty-headed nut taught you how to talk like that. And you learn it from that small-minded nut, and now you become twice the nut he was, or she was. I'm grown. I ain't no child. Tell me I ain't supposed to do this and that. Do what I please. You sure will until you do it in the wrong place. Or to the wrong person. No such thing as people being independent. Nobody's independent. No nation is independent. Every nation needs other nations to survive. Believe it or not. Don't you know that all the people of the world breathe one air? If the people in China, if their atmosphere get heavy with influenza, don't you know we're in danger over here? Because we breathe one air. A wind come and blow China's air over here on us, and all of us sick with influenza. The waters are connected. If you want to travel the waters, you have to get in unity with nations. If you want protection for your air, you have to get in unity with nations.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's some stupid, destroyed, and totally empty people over here called Negroes and black folks and whatnot have a crazy, crazy make-believe idea of what the world is. And the world is satisfied with you to go along crazy like this because they know that you, the children can only make but so much trouble for grown-ups. You can noise up the place. You can dirty up the place. Funk up the place. Throw some paper all around and make the society of grown-ups unsightly. But when you get them too disturbed, they know you're nothing but children. They're going to come down with some straps made of iron and hardwood fortified, and they're going to beat the hell out of the children, lay them up in the bed for a few weeks. Some they're going to punish by locking them up in the closet for a few weeks. And some they might hit so hard in their anger that they just have to bury them. Why continue to be a children people when you now have an opportunity to be a grown-up people? Let's come out of that foolishness. Brother and sister, I've called you together because we are building a society here that's going to be a model society, an example society. Not for America only, for the whole world. And we are not going to have you around here shaming us. If you're not grown enough to set up here on this platform, we're going to put you down there. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not grown enough to sit on this platform, then we're going to put you down there with people. And you can find some children out there to play with. See, out there you have some children. There are grown-ups out there, but there are company for children out there, too. So if you're not grown enough to be up here, then we're going to have to put you out there where you can find some of your own company. That's justice. Now, to stay in that body there, you have to be grown up. Because even our children are grown up in the world. To stay out there in that body, you're going to have to show up that you are no more a child. If we see you acting foolish and making trouble for us, we're just going to take so much of it. Then we're going to let you know that you chose the wrong place. We're going to send you out with your company. We have to be serious. We either going to do the job or we're not going to do it. And I say we're going to do it.
Yes, sir. Right.
Now, don't think that I'm going to put pressure and burden on you, tie your hands up, muffle your mouth, let some bulldogs out on you. Now, if you need that, I don't want you.
That's right.
That'll sure make us open the door for you and say, go on. They got some other leaders out there that's waiting for you.
That's right.
We don't want that kind of person over here. You have to be whipped and tied up, cursed out, beat into submission, then we don't want you here. We don't have time for that kind of foolishness. Now, let me bring something to your mind that you should think about. And that is this. Your closest relative on the face of the earth is one who has accepted this teaching like you have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. Right.
Now, if you're talking about physical blood, a home, family life, that's another thing. Our mission is bigger than physical blood. An individual home. In this mission, we can see a growing relationship that gets bigger and bigger with time. Until now, it has become so big that I think it's the most precious thing on earth. We are related, number one, because we are of the same creation. We are related again because we are of the same life family. We are all human beings. We are related again because we are of the same skin, the same ethnic family, or the same race, as they call it. Is that right? We are related again because we share the same history. Your ancestors, they bore what mine bore. They had the ugly names and the ugly treatment, the abuses that mine had, right? So we are related again in that respect. Now, we have come out of that into a black consciousness. We all came through that together. Now, today, we are in this with a new consciousness, divine consciousness. Is that right? So look at how many times we have been married. Look how many times we have been tied together as relatives. We can't find anybody outside of here that is as close to us as relatives as we are to each other. Now, we don't want to play that cheap. We don't want to take that lightly. That's very important. Don't you know that great powers, great nations have come up on the earth with just one of those relationships working? Their nations were pulled together simply because they were the same physical body and flesh and blood. Some were pulled together because they shared the same history of torture. Or they shared a common, they shared the fear of a common enemy. And they pour together so they can overcome that common enemy.
Yes,
nations have been pulled together simply because they came into a spiritual awakening. Here we are having all of these ties in our relationship.
Yes,
the Almighty God has tied us more times than he tied any people in history. Tied us together, brother and sister, more times than he tied any other people in history.
Yes, sir.
Now, you might think you can come up with some other people, but you can't.
Yes, right.
I'm the teacher.
Yes, sir.
See, the teacher thought on it yesterday. When I tell it to you, you want to start thinking on it. I thought on it yesterday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know what answer you're going to come up with. Now, let's move on with our talk for this afternoon. I hope we can have a conversation. It's better when we have a conversation. But if I speak to you and you just let everything bounce off you, nothing go in, no feeling comes out, no thought is exchanged, well, that's just a one-way thing, you know. Plain old talk, and I don't like plain old talk. I like to have a conversation. We want to take a look at society. and see just how it is formed. So we'll have a better understanding of what we are now a part of. But before going into this, I want to thank all of you who have made efforts to be present here. I want to thank those who are listening on the hookup, telephone hookup, for making efforts to be present, to hear what we have to say this afternoon. And I hope that we all will just relax and not think on the things that are outside of this auditorium or outside of this address, but just keep our minds on what's happening here in our circle and in this address. And if we do that, we won't grow so restless and impatient. The children are the hardest to keep in a seat, right? That's because their mind is not strong enough to concentrate on one or two things. Their mind go all outside with the friend, with the next door relative, all down the street and everywhere else, but where you're trying to keep it, you see. So because of that, their legs get tired, their head gets tired, their arms, everything gets hurting. But if you keep your mind on the subject, stay here with us, your body will take it and won't bother you so much.
Right.
But if your body know you want to be somewhere else, the body helps you get somewhere else. The body is your subject, you see. It's your subject, your servant. So the body gonna help you get where you want to go. And if you want to leave here, it'll give you a lot of hell and help you get on out. What do we have here that we all have come into as one body? It's called the Lost Found Nation of Islam. What does lost found mean? It means that people like us, who were brought here and made slaves, were not all heathen, idol worshippers, or Christians. It means that many of us were Muslims. And that whether we all were Muslims or not, the glory in our history, when we are talking about religion, is Islam. Look at the history of so-called Africa, and you'll see that our glory is in Islam. The great nation, great kingdom of Mali, Songhai, these were Muslim nations. When the Caucasian was still, for the greater part of his world, a savage, a barbaric people. Our people had great civilization on the continent of what is called Africa. And those great civilizations were Muslim civilizations. There were a few that weren't Muslim, but they're in the minority. The majority were Muslim. And Timbuktu. But they tried to keep as much of the knowledge of Islam out of it as they possibly can. They'll tell you of a great leader, a great ruler, and won't even tell you he was a Muslim. So Master Farad, knowing that your past was a glorious one, and it was an Islamic one, he named us the Lost Found Nation of Islam.
Yes, sir.
What other meaning do we have in this name? Or what other significance is tied into this name? When the black Muslim government fell in so-called Africa, that signaled the end of Islamic superiority in the land, all over the earth. They rose up as an Arab and mixed society. And many of them remained strong. But gradually began to go down because they went back to the ignorance that Islam brought them out of. They went back to tribalism, to racism, to slavery, to enslavement, to enslaving of others. They went back to the thing that Islam had brought them out of. So they went down. And we went down with them. That is, in our forefathers, our fathers, or in our ancestors. We went down with them. People from Africa had carried Islam all the way to Spain. And right now you can go to Spain and see the beautiful culture that once was there. Brought there by people from our ancestors' land. But they didn't tell us that. And even today, after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, peace be on him, has preached Islam and our connection with it for 45 years almost, still they want to hide our connection with Islam from us. Shouldn't that tell you that Islam is valuable?
Yes, sir.
That Islam is precious?
Yes, sir.
That Islam is powerful?
Yes, sir.
If they don't want you to have Islam, brother and sister, that is enough in itself to open your eyes to the power and to the usefulness that's in Islam for us over here on earth. Look. Look in the land that is called Africa and tell me what country they say over there is the most progressive. It's not a heathen country. It's not one that whose chief worship idols. It's not a country that's led by a Christian king or Christian ruler. It's a Muslim country that the world say is the most progressive and the most the strongest of the countries on the continent we call Africa. Nigeria. Nigeria is the strongest one, the most efficiently operating one. They tried to take the glory from Islam. They tried to bring about a civil war to weaken the country. But the Muslims survived. And right now you go over there and the Muslims are in the majority and the Muslims run the country. Is that right or wrong? Even though the West, the Christians, those who would like to keep the cross, the crucifix, over the heads of the world so that their white God can be in the minds of the people. They did everything they could to take Islam out of Nigeria, but they failed. They did everything they could to take it out of the Sudan. They failed. I know a lot of you don't want to hear this. A lot of you want a shelter that hides your inferiority, but you are not strong enough to embrace the superiority in Islam. Have teachers in our schools who are working hard to make Christians out of our children and claiming to be believers.
Yes, sir.
Don't think we don't know what's going on. I said I didn't invite you here. I invited my followers here. Now hold up. So if I torture your mind and hurt your feelings, blame it on yourself, I didn't invite you here. You don't have to be here undergoing this torture. We can have a good thing without all that old Islam. You get the hell on out of here. And you'll be waiting for snow to come in the tropics and icebergs that snow to come into the tropics and palm trees to grow on where icebergs are shooting up. Waiting on Islam to leave this community of Bilalia. We know what make us great. We know where our life came from. Came from Islam, came from the Holy Quran. It even showed up the beauty and the worth of the Bible. So we can see that. It made the Bible beautiful to us. Bible couldn't make itself beautiful to us. The Bible by itself was nothing but a book full of corruption and mess. I'm going to talk to you today, whether you like it or not. Hold up. Enslaving people. Justified by the Bible. The Bible says that the Jew can have slaves. Even his own people as slaves. But when the Jubilee come along, you have to free your own people. But if they are not Jews, you can keep them in bondage forever. They're your slaves forever. This is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that prophets got drunk and committed incest, went with their own daughter. The Bible taught us that no matter how righteous you were, it still didn't give you no salvation. That the most righteous person can fall into sin and become a big devil. No matter how close you get to God, still don't have no guarantee. Prophets go out looking for prostitutes. Prophets kill their innocent friends to get their wives. I'm telling you what the Bible put in our minds. God played games with human beings. Then he gets sorry for the ugliness of the game he played. And then say, well, I'll have a child. And have that child give his life for the world. To make up for the ugliness that I've created and put on the world. That's what it's saying, brother and sister. Then he goes and have a baby according to the Bible by a virgin woman and make her father and everybody in the community suspect her of doing something wrong. Then the baby comes, nobody believes in him, only a few. Get 12 disciples, one of them turn out to be Judas. And the rest of them go to sleep when the men come to hang him or to kill him. The rest of the disciples go to sleep. Then he died, crying to his father, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He goes out, and the world gets worse in sin and in bad treatment to people than it ever was before his time. The mistreatment that we suffered over here under the Christians, 3 years of physical enslavement, almost 100 or more years of lynching, burning and torturing our people by Christians after his son had paid the price. All of this amounts to something that I agree with the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, peace be on him. Take it and throw it into the garbage can. That's what he said in his address, Washington, in Washington, D.C. May 29th. He said you should take the Bible and everything else that they've given you and throw it into the trash can. And some of you sitting around here want to have a church, want to have Christianity. If he'll just make it a church, it'll be all right. Or if he'll just stop teaching that old Islam, it'll be all right. You don't belong here. You belong with the dying world that we are killing out there. So don't stay in here and let us kill you right in our face. We don't like to look at the thing we're killing. Go on out there with your people. I don't want no Islam. Abraham, all of the teachers from his time till now, all of them, brother and sister, were moving toward Islam. They had to bring the people by degrees into what we have today. Prophet Muhammad of Arabia, peace be on him, he brought the Holy Quran as it is. He didn't tell the world this is a new book. He didn't tell the world that I have something all my own. So the world shouldn't reject it simply because it's not what they represent to be the pure and best way for people. They should first look into it. And when you look into it, it tells you what Adam was taught. What Abraham was taught. What Noah was taught. Moses, David, Jesus, what all of them were taught. And then Muhammad says, I was taught the same thing. That God gave me the same that he gave every one of them. That's what the man said that this book came to. And he said that if you Christians and you Jews have an argument, then come on, let's argue. He said, I say that what I have is what your prophets taught. Now, if you have an argument, come on, let's argue. But what did he say also to us? You don't have nothing to base your argument on but the scriptures they left with you. So now if you want to argue, bring the scripture Moses gave you. Bring the scriptures Jesus gave you. And we will argue. And let's see if you are following them closer than we are. So this man is saying that I come with the best synagogue. I come with the best church.
Right.
But God don't want it to be stayed back there in Moses' day. He don't want it to stay back there in Jesus' day. God has been moving his mighty arm further and further out toward man and woman. So now he wants you to call it by a greater name, by a name more in accord with his mighty plan that he's gradually been unfolding for the world. And what is wrong with the name Islam?
Yes, sir.
It means one who resides.
Yes.
It means a religion of submission,
yes,
religion of complete resignation,
yes,
to the will of the Almighty Creator.
Yes,
it means that religion that brings one into peace because he has come into accord, in an agreement,
right,
with Creator and the nature of creation.
Yes,
what better name can you have? You need this kind of teaching. Hold up.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Think about this, brother and sister. No other book carries the name of the religion. So how can you say that God's religion is Christianity or Judaism? Nowhere in the Jewish scripture did God say preach Judaism. Nowhere in Jesus, in the New Testament, did Jesus say preach Christianity.
That's right.
This is the only book that names what they taught. No other book names what they taught.
That's right.
Islam.
Yes.
And we can prove to a scientist of mathematics, of chemistry. We can prove to a doctor of law, of education, that by their books and by our books, the name Islam is more in accord, is a proper name for what their prophets taught them.
Yes, sir.
And the name Jew and Christian is not a proper name for what their prophets taught them. We can prove it. When you call one a Jew, what are you calling him? You're calling him after the name, after the man by the name Jew. You call him a Hebrew. What are you calling him? You're calling him after the man who was named Hebron.
Right. Go ahead.
The man Jew, he established himself in a place, and the place was named after him. The place was named Judah.
Right. Go ahead.
Jews don't call themselves Jews, only in your language. They call themselves Yahudi. After Yahoo, Jew. Okay. All right. The Christians say we are Christians, taking the name from Christ. Christ never even accepted that name for himself. Read his own words in the Bible and see that he accepts that he was the Christ. When he was asked about that, he used it, threw it off. He threw them off. He didn't want them trying to apply that name or fix that name Christ to him. Said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I say I'm the Son of Man. Who do you say I am? And they went on to say that he's the Christ, the living God. And in one place, they were on this rock I build my church. But look at the many times in the New Testament that Jesus was questioned. And he refused to say that he was the Messiah. The Messiah was expected to be one coming in the lineage of David. And Jesus refused to be called the Son of David. He didn't want the people calling him the Son of David. He didn't want David as his father. Why? Because he wanted them to see something that they hadn't seen. And that was that I'm not a king to establish no physical government for you. I'm not the Messiah you've been looking for. Somebody to give Judah, the Jews, a nation again and give them power over their own government. See, the Jews had lost their power to rule themselves. They were under Rome. And they were expecting the Messiah to come and give them back a kingdom like David established.
Right.
And they were questioning Jesus to see if he was that one. Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Messiah means no more than Christ. Messiah means one who has been wiped clean. And it's a spiritual meaning. It means that he has been raised up pure in the religion, raised up right, and he is a good person. He has not taken on corruption. And it means because of that, he is anointed to be the ruler. But not a ruler in any physical sense. That's not what Jesus was trying to get the people to see. He was trying to get them to see that there are two kinds of rulers. One leads you to land, physical land, and to a physical government. The other one leads you to correct your moral life, to correct the heart, to form a righteous order. And you don't need government, political people in this. All you need to do is receive it in your heart. He said, the kingdom is within you.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That if you accept this righteousness in your own heart, in your own mind, then you will have the kingdom.
Right.
The Jews didn't like this because that wasn't what they wanted. They wanted to get Rome off their back. So because Jesus didn't help them by accepting or preaching a Messiah to build a physical kingdom, they rejected Jesus. The only Messiah that they saw was a physical Messiah coming to establish a physical kingdom. So Jesus didn't want to say that he was that kind of Messiah. So in the Bible sense, Jesus did not accept to be called Messiah. He didn't accept that word in the sense that it's established in the Bible. But he accepted to be called Son of Man. A prophet. A Christ in the sense that he comes with pureness, the pure heart, pure mind. And he comes to establish a pure order. Christ in that sense, but not Christ in any political sense. That's what Jesus taught. But they tried to say that he was the Christ. Okay, so these people who call themselves Christians, what are they calling themselves? They had taken a name that even Jesus didn't prefer. They're naming themselves after the person. They say, well, the first father was Adam, and the people of Adam were called Adam or Adamites. So Jesus being the last father or the last king, then the people should be called Christian. But does the Bible teach that? No, indeed. The Bible says that his people will be called by his name. And Christ, our Messiah, is not a name or fitting title for Almighty God. Is that right? He also says in the book that the peacemaker shall be called the Son of the Living God. And any preacher will tell you that have any knowledge of religion, he will tell you that son in that expression means followers. That the peacemakers shall be called the followers of God.
Right.
So if you have a religion and you are following God, according to the Bible, the name for you should be peacemaker.
Yes.
Muslim means peacemaker.
Yes, sir.
Muslim means one who is at peace with his God and with his fellow man.
Right.
That's a peacemaker.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes,
so even the Bible tells us that we are not to call ourselves after the names or titles of the prophets, but we are to have a name that identifies each of us equally before God.
Right.
What was Jesus himself? Wasn't Jesus a believer? Wasn't Moses, wasn't Abraham, wasn't all of these great people believers?
Right.
Then they were followers of God, weren't they?
Right.
Didn't Jesus follow God?
Right.
All right. If Jesus, and in his own breath, he said, not my will, but your will.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
All right. So Islam means resignation of your will to the will of God.
Yes,
Muslim means one who will come into peace by resigning his will to the will of God.
Yes,
Jesus said, not your will, not my will, your will, O God. So Jesus was saying, I'm a Muslim.